The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, last week, Gordon Darcy placed Open by Andre Agassi up in the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. And this week, it is the turn of comedian Tony Cantwell, who's got a show to plug, actually. But we won't do that for the moment. We'll let you know in a couple of minutes' time when you can go and see him live, his first solo show in a couple of years. Tony, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Is it hard when we ask people to kind of pick a single book to place in the bookshelf?
I would say it was particularly hard for me because I don't read books.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't.
Right.
I don't read.
This will be short. So anyway, let's get to that plug.
No. Like, no, I still have books. Don't worry. But I listen to a lot of audiobooks.
That counts.
See, this is the thing. It does count.
It does.
And I'm fed up with these kind of highfalutin people who think because they were sitting there doing nothing for 2 hours reading a book. Sorry, I could have been running. I mean, I wasn't. But, you know, I tidied the gaff and actually read a book. No, I don't know. I used to try and read fiction, and for some reason I would always picture whatever the lead was as, like, I'd always cast in my head, and for whatever reason I always just pictured the lead as, like, Matt LeBlanc. And even I'd be reading, like, a Dan Brown book, and I'm like, this is Matt LeBlanc Joey from Friends, and I'm like, I can't get past this.
And Matt LeBlanc playing Joey, playing the character.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of in out of his depth, kind of looking confused as to all these, you know, parallelograms flying through his head. But I do love my self-help books, you know. I am a millennial, you know, at the end of the day, so I love kind of self-help tips. So the book, I love a book that I love, that I would love to put on the bookshelf,
yes,
if you'd allow, is a book called Steal Like an Artist by Austin Kleon. It's only 160 pages, and most of the pages just have one sentence on it, so it's perfect. But really what it is kind of like a tool set for creatives and people who want to be creative. And it kind of, you know, posits the idea, which I think is fact, that nothing is original. Like, nothing is original. It is just influence after influence after influence. That's a great quote at the start, which is like, someone asked David Bowie, do you think you're the most original artist working today? And he says, no, I'm not original. I'm just a tasteful little thief, you know, and I only study art that I can actually borrow something from, you know. So the title Steal Like an Artist kind of seems like, you know, encouraging plagiarism. But really what it's about is just taking bits from things that you see and recognizing the fact that, like, the Beatles were just doing Buddy Holly and Elvis until they decided to write their own songs. Or Conan O'Brien stems from Johnny Carson trying to replicate Jack Benny, and then David Letterman trying to replicate Johnny Carson, and Conan O'Brien trying to replicate David Letterman. Like, all of these things are, when done wrong by the clumsy artist, you kind of become your own, you know, becomes its own thing. And you find your own voice in that. But I also think it's important because I do videos online, and there's a way to steal like an artist, which is, like, allow yourself to be influenced, take in a lot of perspectives, a lot of different things that you didn't expect to get it from. You know, when you see on TikTok these days, people who are really big in comedy right now, and they are just verbatim stealing other people's videos, you know, sometimes without even crediting them.
Yeah.
And it's like, so it's a good book as well, just to know the difference between influence or influenced by so-and-so, so-and-so, being like, well, did you really? Because you're literally lip syncing their exact same words. So, yeah, I think it's just a great book. And it's also just, rather than even it being a tool set, just acknowledging the fact that if you, you know, everyone is just copying everyone, but doing it wrong is, like, a beautiful thing. That's the art.
And do you then, like, have you always appreciated that element of the creative process? That no, it's kind
no,
of
I didn't.
Infused
I,
with all
I,
these other
I think because I got into comedy so late, and I was in, like, sales, and I was in a very high pressure. I was, like, a sales manager for, like, 20 people in London for years. Like, when I actually went to do the work of, like, being a comedian, I treated it like just, like, banging my head against a wall, being like, okay, blank page, write something,
yes,
Monday to Friday. And what this book kind of allowed me to see is that, like, you know, you really have to take things in. You have to let things absorb you. You have to, you know, you have to just see ideas that you like and then do it in your kind of clumsy way. And also just appreciate good art without trying to constantly be an output machine all the time. So I didn't never really saw it like that. I think the first time I kind of realized it was I was doing a movie and someone showed me, like, this is what it's going to look like. And I'm like, you're just showing me 30 stills from, to be fair, fairly badass movies. And
yeah,
they're like, yeah, well, we want to get the knife kill from this slasher film, and we want to get, you know, the lighting, you know, from this Darren Aronofsky movie. And I'm like, oh, like, we all are just curated. Like, we all just have our influences. You've just printed them out here on a piece of paper. But, like, that's all art is someone's beautifully curated life.
Yeah.
And then, you know, picking and choosing which bits kind of tickle their interest to actually present it. So I always just kind of thought that things had to be original, or yeah, it might look like that, but kind of acknowledging and accepting that you live in the world where nothing is original, but your interpretation is the original thing, is so much more freeing to allow you just to explore a lot more avenues.
There's a symbiotic thing though, isn't there? Like there's a value in it as well from the, what would we call it, the consumer's point of view or the end user, because it's easier for me, I guess, to consume or to digest comedy if even on a subliminal level or a subconscious level, I have a reference point for it, or it feels kind of familiar. Like if you took some kind of uncontacted tribe from the Andaman Islands and got it to like write a stand-up, that's probably the only example I can think of of something original. It would just, it wouldn't resonate.
Yeah,
like exactly. The reason your comedy might resonate is because, yeah, I mightn't realise that, oh, that's a bit of Pryor and that's a bit of this and that's a bit of that. But on some level, you know, because I've grown up with the same cultural touchstones as you, broadly, you know, there's a value in that as well.
Well, that's the difference between a comedian seeing someone do a bit about, you know, an Irish mammy and they're like, I kind of have an Irish mammy joke, but I might be stealing. But like, no, like the tent pole topics are there, you know, and you might be like, oh, I wouldn't have done the joke. I would have done the joke that way. You know, actually watching stand-up and trying to finish someone's punchline before they get there is an incredible tool for writing.
Yeah, that's just good practice.
Just to be like, oh, I wouldn't have done that. And then you maybe hit play and you hear the rest of the joke and you're like, actually, no, that's way better. I'm crap. You know? But, and also like these familiar kind of tropes, like Star Wars, for example, like that takes, you know, the plot structure of like the Joseph Campbell hero journey, you know, and it takes like Akira Kurosawa, samurai.
Every movie is an Akira Kurosawa movie. It is,
exactly. Yeah. You know, John Ford and things like that. But then like, why does this seem familiar that a guy and a giant like walking dog on a spaceship, it seems familiar because it's like Arthurian legend as well. You know what I mean? So not seeing it directly, it just feels like the most original thing, but it also resonates, you know?
But yeah, it's so many people will say, well, this is Seven Samurai on some level. I often think, like, you know, when Seven Samurai was released, what did they say it was?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Kurosawa, I mean, like, this is like the Seven Shogun, obviously.
You should see that I've seen some watercolors pasted on the inside of temples.
He's just lifted that straight off that watercolor. So did you listen to this?
I did actually read that because it's mostly pictures.
Oh. Well, that's all right. So Steal Like an Artist, 10 Things Nobody Told You About Being Creative by Austin Kleon. So that is going up. Pride of Place. We always allow honourable mention to a few other books. So anything you want to mention?
I do. A book that was recommended to me by my brother was a book about Stoic philosophy, but it's by Derren Brown, of all people, but it's called Happy.
The magician,
Derren Brown, the mentalist, which is, I can't believe that's still a term thrown around. It was like that HBO show.
Yes.
He is the mentalist. And I'm like, is he? anyway, so yeah, he's an illusionist and a magician, but he has this weirdly grounded book about Stoic philosophy. My brother recommended it because he was like, when I read it, I was like, oh, everything's kind of fine. And I suppose what he meant by that is what Derren Brown does is he kind of just goes through this kind of Stoic philosophy. But one of the core ideas is just really knowing what you can control and what you can't control. And all you can control are your thoughts and your actions, and checking in with yourself at any moment just to be like, is this a problem right now? And then, no. Is it a problem that I can control? No. And kind of doing a bit of a mental test just to kind of clear your head of the things you actually do have kind of control about. And everything else is kind of fine. Now, that's not to say that you'd be complacent to the horrors of the world, but like, what can you do if you don't like something? You can only really, I can maybe take action to stop an injustice, or I could say something, you know, but like ultimately worrying about everything, maybe social injustice is not the best example, but worrying about everything that could happen is just a fallacy. It doesn't really lead to anything. And there was this was when I had kids and I was like trying to get a lot of work done and I was trying to write stand-up and have a huge output. And he was just kind of saying in the book, you should really just strive for like good enough. And if you strive for good enough, you might even find yourself actually reaching the same lengths that you did previously with half the amount of pressure and stress that you used to.
Yeah.
And also is just a great ideas about just how everything is just borrowed, you know. Everyone will die and that's just a constant and we know that, you know, but everything is borrowed and, you know, friendships are borrowed and life is borrowed. It's like you don't you don't grieve returning a book to the library because you kind of know that you had it for, you know, a short amount of time. And that's the same with anything, whether you crash your car and you're like, I'm going to have to say goodbye to that. Like, you knew already you weren't going to have the car forever.
Yeah.
But it's always a surprise, you know, it's always a crisis when these things happen. But if you kind of acknowledge the fact that everything is borrowed, everything will go away, and appreciate it kind of while you have it. It's just a great book of kind of just simplifying things a little bit for me.
There's a great line in that movie, Bridge of Spies, you know, the Spielberg movie with Tom Hanks, and Mark Rylance's character is being questioned. And Tom Hanks puts it, I can't remember how it was, he basically puts it to him that he should be really, like, this is really serious, you know, this predicament you find yourself in. Like, you should be terrified, you should be really worried. And Mark Rylance's character just says, well, would that help?
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of speaks to that, you know what I mean? How I react to these circumstances around me is completely within my control. And by worrying about it, it will not change those circumstances.
But it's an old, I find like Stoic philosophy now has just kind of been co-opted by kind of like gym bros and stuff like that. And it's kind of weirdly, it's become this kind of like, hey, I'm Zen, you know, you better be Zen too. And it's kind of at odds with all the other self-help books that I would have enjoyed previously, which I was really into, like Tony Robbins, and I was really into like manifesting things. Like, I bought The Secret, about literally you can manifest your way into anything. And
what does that say now about you that you're into all of those things, do you think?
I think it stems from me looking for a way, being confused, being easily confused. And do you know, I think it stems from my parents telling me I was special. And ultimately,
blame your parents.
No, I think they were constantly always trying to make me feel like I was special. And then I believed that I was special. And then I tried out for a basketball team. Didn't like how that felt when I didn't get it. And I've constantly been searching for meaning ever since. That's where I think it stems from. But I do find those books, ultimately, though, they do put the kind of onus on you for either not manifesting hard enough or for not thinking positive enough.
Mm.
And that's not really, you know, how the world works, you know. And I think what this book kind of does is that, like, you know, there is no end goal. There's only kind of now, and there's only, you know, life is not a linear thing that you reach the top of. It's constantly diagonal. And yet everyone acts surprised when they hit a diagonal, you know. Like they say about, you know, the flow state is when you're being, you know, challenged within your skill set. You know,
yeah.
If it's easier than that, you're going to be bored. If it's harder than that, you're going to be frustrated. And like living life in that state of allowing challenges that you kind of know are going to come and then trying to build up the skills to match those rather than just be like, when I get this, my life will be complete. So it's been great.
Happy by noted philosopher Darren Brown.
Darren Brown.
Mentalist.
Illusionist, Darren Brown.
Magician, and modern day philosopher.
Yeah.
You're trying to quit vaping as well, are you?
Yeah.
With Alan Carr's help.
Yeah, Alan Carr.
Not Alan Carr the comedian.
No. Well, I did try his book, but it was like, stop vaping! And I was like, I'm finding this voice abrasive.
Did you imagine Matt LeBlanc playing Joey, playing Alan Carr?
Yeah, when I read the book first, and I'm like, you know what, I can't handle
this. This is way too difficult.
Yeah, and then maybe I should get the Justin Lee Collins How to Quit, quit my stand-up career. And I'm trying to quit vaping, so that's always handy. I did it with smoking, but then I got into vaping, so I don't know. Maybe Alan Carr is going to encourage me to like take up chewing gum, and that'll be the next thing I'll be.
Yeah, tobacco and the
little. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into that. I'm into my snus game
nice,
at the moment.
Nice,
yeah,
okay.
Thank you so much.
How to Quit Snus by Alan Carr, the next one. Steal Like an Artist, 10 Things Nobody Told You About Being Creative by Austin Kleon is going up on the bookshelf.
Thanks so much.
Now, I mentioned the show. So this is the first solo show in 2 years, You Cry Weird, at the Dublin Fringe, September 12th. If people want to find out more about it,
I would highly recommend they go to my Instagram at Tony Horror, and it'll be announced soon, and you can get tickets for Smock Alley very soon.
That's a double plug for the show and for his own Instagram.
Please,
Tony,
go there.
Thank you very much, Tony.
Thank you
Cantwell.
So much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy,
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range,
weekdays from 4 on News Talk.